Joining me in a studio with nothing to do with the United Nations is psychologist in private practice, David Abramson. David, a very good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
How are you?
Very well. Good morning, Zanati.
Morning. I thought he was going to say you have nothing to do, so that's why you're here.
What? David's always got plenty to do, I can tell you. All right, so David, I'm throwing you under the bus. David walked in thinking we're going to be talking about something completely different. Mm. And during the course of the morning, I've completely changed my mind. And the reason that I did that is for the following, because of the following reasons, is I was listening to Musi Mamani yesterday. And I'm listening to everybody talking around this. And the one thing that I always worry about and contemplate is how much responsibility people take in their own lives for their own stuff. Now, Musi, of course, has a lot, and he can say that is valid criticism of the party. So that is definitely something that's important. But at the same time, the last election for the DA were absolutely terrible. And I wondered why, if he was going to take responsibility for that. Now, every week at Shul, at synagogue, we read from the Bible. And this week, because we've just finished the whole cycle, we start from the beginning. And we start with Genesis, we start with Bereshit. And one of the most powerful things, and one of the most powerful parts for me, and something in fact I'm using in my next book, is the following. Eve gives Adam the fruit, he eats it, and God then comes to them. And he says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam answers, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid. And then God said, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And I thought that is absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Because God then says to the woman, what is it that you've done? And the woman says, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And to me, I find this absolutely fascinating. Now, this is 5,000 years old or forever old or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter what you believe, who wrote it, who didn't write it, where it came from. But the fact is that that always has been human nature. And it plays out in every aspect of every day of our lives. Anati, what do you think?
I've never ever read it like that. Ever. Like,
really?
I've never thought about it like that. And you are right. And I mean, because it happened there at the start of, at the beginning of time.
It's like the first conversations.
It really is human nature. It's what we default to. And it's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I could be a rabbi.
Honestly.
I could be a rabbi. And I tell you, it would be an interesting congregation. But that's something completely different. David, your thoughts?
Howard.
Yes.
Aren't people tired of this? Aren't people?
Well, we've been doing it since Adam.
100%.
And that woman that God gave us.
Blame the woman.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, we get so tired of hearing the same advice over and over again. And I think we've become a little bit immune to these things, like take responsibility. And I think, you know, it just goes over us sometimes because we hear it so often. But why I've agreed to be thrown under the bus this morning is because it is such a fundamental concept about taking responsibility. Because I believe that if you don't take responsibility, you can read as many help books as you can go and get the best advice. But if you don't take responsibility, you cannot take control of your life. You are always going to be in the passenger seat. And I think it's very easy, initially not to take responsibility because it's someone, it wasn't me.
Yeah. It gave me that woman and she made me eat it.
Right. It's never my fault. I can't take responsibility for it. And it's an easy way out. And it feels good at the time. almost like with anxiety, when you avoid it, it feels good initially,
mm-hmm.
because you know, you don't have to take control. You don't have to take, as we're saying, responsibility. But really, I think the very important thing is that there's a price to pay. There's always a price to pay if you don't take responsibility, because I think that's the bottom line, is that you then give up control of your life. And, you know, we hear this all the time. We open up, you know, our monthly magazines and the self-help books, mm-hmm. and we hear that all the time. But it is, we really need to think about that, I think, about taking responsibility means that we take control of our lives. And if we take control of our lives, then we open up a gambit of possibilities, including increasing our self-esteem and confidence. Because if you think about it, one's self-esteem is really about how one feels about oneself. And if you're not in control of that, if you're relying on how other people talk about you and you're always working towards something that is in control of other people, how other people respond to you, then, you know, you never feel in control. So you never feel, good about yourself, because you feel like you've given up that control. So really, I think for me, taking responsibility goes very deep from a psychological level.
How important is it to take responsibility publicly? You know, in other words, yesterday when Musi sits down and he talks to the nation, is it important? I mean, I guess he's a public figure, so it's a bit of a different, it's also different. But how important is it to do that publicly versus Musi coming home, closing the front door and saying to his wife, you know, I need to own some of this.
Yeah.
It's partly my fault.
Well, I think he's a very public figure. And I think, I think because of that, I think, taking public responsibility, because he is someone who has taken
on that role.
He is in that role. Clearly, if you're, right. you know, you're just your average Joe.
No such thing. Yeah.
Average Chaim.
No, man. No one's average.
I know.
Stop with that average business.
Put it in your book.
I'm going to put it in the book, and I'm going to say.
But if you are not a politician, you're not in the spotlight, of course you don't have responsibility.
Mm.
But I think for me, Musi is a very, very public figure who has taken on a lot of responsibility by choice. And I think it's important for him to explain himself and to take responsibility for the choices that he is going to make and has made in the past.
Mm.
So, I think it's very important that he does speak out.
I'd love your thoughts on it. 345-119 or 061-895-1019. I'm chatting to a psychologist in private practice, David Abramson, and we are speaking about taking responsibility from time immemorial, it would seem, that we don't like to take responsibility. And, of course, the question is, why? What is so bad? Why do we default to blaming somebody else? Joining me in studio is David Abramson. He's a psychologist in a private practice. We're talking about taking responsibility. Kate wants to know, how does one live with the concept that God runs the world and yet have the attitude that you discussed, where we take responsibility for everything that happens in our lives? David, you're going to have to pass on that one. We're going to have to push that one to Zanati. Zanati, what do you think about that?
No, to be honest, I think that God gives us free will. There's a reason why things don't just happen because of the universe. God gives us, you choose a path and you choose if you want to walk that path with God, and he will walk with you. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that it will give you the same result as another path.
Absolutely right. Well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. David certainly couldn't have said it at all. But in fact, David's like, "What? I can't answer that."
I keep reminding you, I'm not a rabbi.
No. So the point is this: I think the conversation about free will and responsibility is a lazy one. And I don't mean it to Kate from your perspective, because it's a very good question. But I think it's a lazy question, because not Kate.
Yes,
but I don't even know Kate. But so I'm assuming that my assumption that Kate is not lazy, he's not asking a lazy question. But the reality is that it's a cop out. It's very easy, because we don't know. We don't really understand this fully. So it's very easy to sit back and say, well, you know, everything is God's will, so therefore I don't need to hold any form of responsibility around this at all. So I don't, it's not something that I think adds to the discussion or the quality of the discussion in any way.
But I think taking responsibility is making decisions, taking actions, and owning them. And they don't always have a good result. sometimes they have a negative result. And I think for me, again, it's about understanding that you have control of the choice. You have control over what you think, over what you do. And that's the start, and a very important start. And it's so easy for us to postpone that, you know, to say, okay, well, I'll start doing it in the future. I'll start. And again, that's about not taking responsibility. Every day,
right,
we've got opportunities to take responsibility. But again, in relation to God, and again, saying,
I don't necessarily want this conversation to be about a relationship with God or in relation to God. The reason I used the Adam and Genesis conversation or text is because it indicates that we've been doing this forever. From the very first man, or the very first man recorded, however you view it, doesn't bother me. But from way back then, we've blamed our wives, and our wives have blamed the snakes, and we just continue deflecting responsibility away from ourselves towards somebody else. Why has it always been so painful for us?
You know,
and it can't be something that happened in Adam's childhood.
Clearly not. Because, you know, taking responsibility is huge. You know, we hear it all the time. It's just a word, you know, which gets thrown around. But it's a huge, huge undertaking to actually take responsibility for your life. Because we can always say, I've tried, I did this, there was this response. And it's very difficult. It's a very mature place to be when one takes action and then takes responsibility for that action, or looks at things. And this is also very important when one takes responsibility. It's also about being, and I know here's another word that gets bandied around, just being present and mindful. Because people, I think this is very important.
Why is that? How does that relate
because
back to responsibility?
People tell themselves stories. Mm-hmm. People often, and I often say to my clients, what is the story that you're telling yourself? So if you, if someone criticizes you, if someone, you know, doesn't greet you, what story are you telling yourself? And often we don't take responsibility to be in the moment and think about it, that maybe it's not about us. Maybe we didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's about that person.
Or maybe it is. Or maybe we didn't engage that person, which is why they didn't greet us, because we gave, we didn't make ourselves accessible to that person. So what did we do to create that environment?
But again, Howard, I think often that's where we, you know, we get into difficulty, because if we don't take responsibility and kind of, and where this links up is to say to ourselves, okay, maybe this isn't about me. Maybe it's about what that person is experiencing in their lives. And so really what we're saying is we're being in the moment. We're thinking about things consciously. And again, remember, I think that's the key word is what story are we telling ourselves? And often it comes from within us rather than what the reality is. And so I think that's very important when we're in the process of taking responsibility because we often project into other people. You know, we often project what we're feeling. If we're feeling low, you know, or we're feeling vulnerable, then that person didn't greet us because they're rude and we're not good enough, or we, you know, again, we create stories in our mind to try and keep us aware of that as possible and take responsibility for our thoughts. So it's not only our actions, but take responsibility to our thoughts, because clearly that can lead to so much more.
Well, Stan, I actually can't be expected to read this out, but I'm going to anyway. I don't know. If Adam and Eve were Chinese, they actually would have eaten the snake. The world would have been an entirely different place. How does one respond to that, David? You're a psychologist.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Chancellor says, hi, Howard. Help me here. Human beings, as we know them, were created by God. It's his design. The free will element was part of his design. I guess if it were a bridge that collapsed, the blame would be misplaced. Why the double standard? I'm not sure what Chancellor, Zanati, do you know what Chancellor's asking?
Mm-hmm.
Human beings were created by God. It's his design. The free will element was part of his design. I guess if it were a bridge that collapsed, I see. He's saying if we designed a bridge, and the bridge collapsed because of the poor design, we'd be to blame. Like, so basically, we were designed by God. This is our makeup, you know, so maybe it's not so bad to put it straight back to you. But yeah, I hear it. I do hear it. I think that's quite cute. But I think that we designed as real people with the ability. We're not angels. We haven't been designed as angels. No perfect person is perfect. And again, I didn't necessarily want to get into a theological discussion around this. I really wanted to try and understand what is it in our makeup that makes us so afraid to take responsibility and to own some of our stuff. Mm. What it's very, very clearly always been something that as a race, as a human race, that we have battled with. We don't seem to be getting very much better.
Mm. I think we don't like to fail.
Do you think that's what it is?
We really, really don't like to fail. And it's such a dark thought, just thinking about the fact that you failed and you ruined things because of what you did. That's the thing. Like, I think.
Well, when she says it that way, I would deny it also. I would also blame my wife.
That's the thing. I think we are really afraid to fail, and I think for me, I think that's at the core of it.
I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. What do you think prevents us from taking responsibility? We always have, very, very clearly. I've just shown you that we've done this throughout time. What is it that is so inherent in us that we can't sit up at a press conference or at home to our families, to our wives, to our husbands, to our children, and for our children to be able to say, yeah, I did that, I was wrong, I own this.
Mm. You know, I think from what Zanati's saying is that, again, we hear this again and again all the time, that, you know, we learn from difficult times. We learn through our mistakes. And it's so true, but no one wants to really experience difficult times. You know, it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Which is quite funny, because by not taking responsibility, I believe we experience them more. It's 8:31. Leanne says, I think it's also about shame. That's why people don't like taking responsibility. Your thought, David?
No, absolutely. And as we were saying before the break, that, yeah, it's difficult to feel shame. It's difficult to feel...
So therefore, if we reacted differently to starting off with our children, and we didn't make taking responsibility so brutal... Because I think we do that, you know, because once we get them to admit that, yes, it was them that built a sandcastle out of the cake flour, and they sent to their room and they asked to scrub the floor in shame, maybe the next time they do something wrong, they will be quicker to acknowledge it.
Absolutely. And I think that it's such a good point, that there's two things that I think come out of your comment. One is that I think as adults, we don't take responsibility enough in regards to our children. And how does that action? We don't say sorry to our children. We're afraid, you know,
it's very hard. It's very hard.
It is. But we make mistakes. We're human to say, I'm going to take
responsibility. My kids have forced me. Dad, just say sorry.
Sorry. And they're right.
Of course they're right, but you don't know how hard it is.
It's very, very hard. But I think it's so important for our children to see us take responsibility. We're not perfect. So I think that's also very important. And your second point is very, very...
About the cake flour.
About the cake flour. About the cake. And clearly, because your wife had a bakery, there's something in there.
There's been a lot of sandcastles built.
Yeah, a lot of sandcastles. Mm. But I think for me, again, as you're saying, when a child does take responsibility, to not punish them in a very harsh way. Obviously, situation dependent, but to really give affirmation and praise for actually, as we're saying,
acknowledge it. You actually praise the taking of responsibility rather than overly focusing on the, even though you want to beat them with the wet side of a luppy. Because you've seen the mess, yeah.
No, absolutely. Right. But the bottom line is, as you're saying, it encourages the person or your child to take responsibility rather, as you say, than wanting to avoid the punishment.
Right, absolutely.
I think that's the differentiator.